Welcome to The Author Show, where we present new authors and books. From fiction to self-help and everything in between, you'll find it all here. To watch the TV version of our program, visit AuthorsWebTV.com. That's AuthorsWebTV.com. And now, let the show begin with your hosts, Don McCauley and Danielle Hampson.
Hello and welcome back to the show. This is your host, Don McCauley. Today we're welcoming to the program author Myrna Beth Haskell, and she is the author of Lions, Tigers, and Teens. Myrna holds a Master of Arts degree in English Literature and has been writing professionally for over 25 years. Her popular syndicated column, Lions and Tigers and Teens, debuted in June of 2009. It's currently published in 11 states and has a monthly circulation of approximately 500,000. Her work has also appeared in Better Homes and Gardens magazine and American Fitness, Parents magazine. She's been published in more than 200 regional print magazines, web magazines, and journals throughout the United States and Canada. Myrna conducts parenting seminars for PTAs, library programs, and secondary schools. She collaborates with PTA, having appeared as a guest speaker at regional and local conferences. Her book will be excerpted in Our Children, which is the National PTA's resource magazine, in the fall. She's a dedicated volunteer for her local school. She's a former PTA president and is the current Hyde Park Art Parents Association president. She lives with her husband and two teenage children in Salt Point, New York. Myrna, how are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me on the show.
Let's start with a big question. Tell us about this book, please.
This is, as you mentioned, my column, Lions and Tigers and Teens. This is a compilation of my absolute favorite installments. Each chapter discusses a universal issue that parents of teenagers face. That might be privacy issues, back talk, school stress, curfews, self-esteem issues. I also included several chapters that have never been published before on bullying, substance abuse, and teen depression. Also, I wanted to mention that there is not one point of view in my book. There are many point of views, and this is a good thing. I interviewed dozens of experts in the field, and I also had hundreds of parents from across the country send in tips. Those tips and personal stories from other parents appear in the tips and tales section at the end of each chapter, so every parent can take away something and learn something new about raising their adolescents.
Who did you write this book for?
Well, it started out where I was writing for myself. I was keeping a journal of different issues I was dealing with my own teenagers, and the first couple of installments with the column were based on my personal experiences. But then it really mushroomed from there and expanded into topics that were concerning other parents in my community and in the schools. I also had parents writing in and asking me to write on specific topics. So it really, I wrote it for myself initially, and then it expanded more into I wanted to talk to other parents and help other parents out.
Now, is there a central message or perhaps underlying theme that runs throughout the book?
There definitely is. There's an underlying message throughout. And that message is that no parent is perfect. However, if you're willing to try different approaches and communicate with your teen regularly, collaborate with your teen, and what I mean by that is parents of elementary school age kids, pretty much they tell their kids what to do. You know, they need to tell their kids, in order to be successful, you need to do this, this, and this. Once a parent is someone who's raising an adolescent, you have to collaborate with your adolescent. You have to talk about possible consequences for behaviors and talk about them, what they think is fair, what you think is fair in the family dynamic, because you're trying to raise them into an accomplished adult and a valued member of society. They need to become independent adults. So that's the big difference between raising an adolescent and raising a younger child.
What's the most important idea you're sharing in this book that's really going to add value to the reader's life?
I think that no matter how daunting a problem may seem, it might be drug abuse or teen depression or an adolescent that's really having a problem with test anxiety, you can help your teen through any tough spot. Your job is not to belittle your teen and assume that he or she is perfect, of course, but you need to help them through their mistakes and show them that they can move on and be a better person despite their mistakes. And I think if I could just add, I think the readers that will get this guide will realize that there's hundreds and thousands of other parents going through the same types of trials and tribulations as they raise their teens. So that's apparent in the tips and tails section of each chapter, and I think that makes the book a supportive guide for parents.
Teen depression can be devastating. How can a parent tell if a teen is suffering from depression and not just going through a phase?
You know, this is really tough because every parent and caregiver of an adolescent knows that teens have ups and downs. One minute they might be, you know, laughing and giddy, and the next minute they're down in the dumps and they're slamming their door and escaping. So I think this is a tough issue for parents to know the difference between a typical mood swing and depression, and that's why I wrote this particular chapter. Experts told me that signs in adolescents differ somewhat from adults, too, which makes it difficult. For instance, adolescents might withdraw from socializing with friends, and friends are the core of their existence at this age. They also say that they might exhibit increased hostility, or they might even suddenly seem bored with nothing to do. All the experts I interviewed, though, for this piece say that parents should go with their gut on this one. So if you realize that your teen is acting differently and not coming out of a mood and really becoming withdrawn, you should probably seek help from a specialist.
Since you wrote the column Texting Madness, where you kind of talked about what is happening with teens and the fact that they're texting and not really talking anymore, do you feel that things have really changed for the better or for the worse?
Unfortunately, I think things have changed for the worse. I wrote that chapter back in 2009, and since then, more and more teens have acquired cell phones, and at younger ages, by the way. And what's happened is parents are now dealing with new issues with the cell phones. The reality of texting and driving, for instance, which is an extremely dangerous behavior, is something that's been in the papers and that parents have been really afraid of. And also sexting, which is the sending of nude photos over cell phones. Adolescents are now doing this behavior. It's a new trend. So I think that the texting has mushroomed into these other more dangerous behaviors that are related to texting.
According to the studies conducted by the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, what did 2/3 of teens report the primary reason for their substance abuse to be?
This will probably be very surprising to your listeners, but approximately 2/3 of the thousands of students that were surveyed for this report reported that it was school-related stress that was their primary reason for substance abuse. Now, I personally would have thought that it would be peer pressure or a way to fit in, and I think that probably a lot of other parents out there might think that, but it was school stress. So I think really this has to get parents thinking about their adolescent schedules and how much time they have for sleep and for healthy eating habits and those things that keep the body going and keep you focused, because school stress is obviously a big problem out there.
What are some volunteer opportunities that parents of middle school and high school students can be involved in that won't freak their teen out?
Okay, well, I can speak from definitely personal experience here, because as a former middle school PTA president, I saw a big drop-off in volunteers in the schools, in the secondary schools, that is. And I think the reason for that is parents start to realize their kids don't want them around anymore. They don't want mom or dad breathing down their necks. So parents tend to drop out. They think maybe their, you know, child doesn't need them as much as they used to. But this is the biggest mistake parents can make, because at the adolescent age, this is when things can really go awry. So I do have some ideas for parents. Try to volunteer for those things that a lot of other parents are going to go to. You don't want to be the only one at the school dance if all the chaperones are teachers and staff members, for instance. You're going to stick out, you'll stick out to your teen's peers, and your teen will freak out over something like that. So find things to do where there's other parents around, fundraisers, maybe going to athletic events and taking photos, joining committees, those kinds of things. But the big thing here is stay involved. Your teen will appreciate the fact that you still care about their education and that you care about what they're doing with their life.
Teens sent in tips for the test anxiety chapter. What were some interesting tips that they sent to you?
right away when I wrote this particular installment, I thought that it would be better to get comments from teens because those are the folks that are experiencing the anxiety, and I was really happy with some of the comments I got. Just for a tiny bit of background here, this chapter focuses on spring test pressures. A lot of adolescents are taking AP exams, SATs, major final exams, and particularly for those teens that are actually experiencing test anxiety, this time of year can really stress a teen out and cause havoc in their lives. I did have a teen, I believe it was from Vermont, write in and say that he filed all his quizzes and smaller exams and would take the questions that teachers went over from those smaller tests, and he found that over the years, those were the questions on the final exam. So once he studied that way, he would go in more relaxed. I had a teen write in that she chews gum to calm herself. I had a teen write in that he visualizes the good feeling that he gets when the test is over, and if he could do that kind of visualization ahead of time, it would calm him for the exam. So lots of great things from the adolescents on this particular chapter.
What was the best tip for helping a teen stay focused at the end of the school year?
Oh, yes. This was the chapter Sprint to the Finish, because most teachers and parents know that spring fever and senioritis sets in big time in the spring for adolescents. So I remember a counselor, a guidance counselor from high school, wrote in that she reminds her seniors in particular that colleges look at their final transcript. This is important because seniors are done with high school. If you've had a senior, you know this. They're looking on to their job or to going on to a college campus and their future and just what's happening in the spring, proms, end of year senior events. And it's hard to stay focused on the academics. So I thought that was a great tip. Look, you think you've gotten into college, but your college is going to be looking at your final transcript, so you need to stay motivated and focused.
Other than selling this work, of course, what else do you hope to accomplish with it?
I really hope to help other parents. I've been very involved in my community, and I found when parents can support each other and share their trials and tribulations and talk about issues that are going on with their adolescents, it makes for a better community and makes for better schools.
In your opinion, who should buy this book?
Definitely any caregiver of an adolescent, parents, coaches, teachers, grandparents, all of those people will benefit from this book.
Time is getting very short, so the most important question, where can we buy this book?
Well, you can buy it from the publisher. That's at www.unlimitedpublishing.com/Haskell, my last name. You can get a signed copy from me on my website at www.myrnahaskell.com. It's also available as paperback on Amazon.com, and there is an ebook version on Amazon.com.
Could you spell your name for us, please?
Absolutely. That's first name Myrna, M Y R N A, middle name Beth, B E T H. Last name Haskell, H-A-S-K-E-L-L.
This has been Just Great. Our guest today has been Myrna Beth Haskell, and she's the author of Lions, Tigers, and Teens. Myrna, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is Don McCauley wrapping up another edition of The Author Show. If you're an author or know an author, learn how you can help a publisher publish you by visiting helpapublisherpublishyou.com. Each week you receive a listing of publishers, small presses, and others who may be interested in publishing your work. This is a free service of The Author Show. If you'd like to be a guest in the show, visit www.theauthorshow.com. Fill out the form and we may be contacting you shortly. And if you're an author, don't forget to visit Book Marketing, The Author's Marketing Powerhouse at www.theauthorsmarketingpowerhouse.com. We look forward to seeing you here next time on The Author Show.
Thanks for listening to The Author Show. To contact us, call toll-free 1-877-955-8800. That's 877-955-8800. Or visit theauthorshow.com. That's theauthorshow.com. Tune in next time to another great author on The Author Show.